This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, so very happy to be with you. I certainly am. Oh, my goodness. I have so much to tell you. What an amazing time we had in Siouxland there in Sioux City, Iowa. I want to share a little bit with you about that. But I certainly want you to know that I am delighted always to be with you Monday through Friday at this same time as we talk about issues important to your life and your faith. We have a toll-free number for you so that you can call us and talk with us right here on Women of Grace Live. The number for you to use is 833-288-EWTN. That is a number for you exclusively in North America. That's 833-288-3986. Also inviting you to join us out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. We have got an opportunity for you there, and it's called the chat feature. Put in your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement, and we will get it retrieved and up on the board. We have Michael McCall doing the retriever. He is the, not golden retriever, he is the grand retriever of all of those messages. He'll get them up there for us. And we have Matthew Gupensky, the one and the only, out there on the phone lines today. So we invite you to call. Keep both of these gentlemen busy, please. I like to see these guys busy, 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 working, working, working. Yes, I do. All through Wind of Grace. And then if they want to take a little rest later on in the day, well, they can. But not until after we have Take Two with Debbie and Jerry. So all of that being said, inviting you to give us a call. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Or use EWTN Radio's YouTube channel to leave your question in the chat feature there. We do have a number for you if you're outside of North America. We certainly do. We want to hear from everybody. I sure want to hear from everybody. So it's country code 1-205-271-2985. Country code 1-205-271-2985. And you can even text your questions or comments to us. I mean, we are just so technologically sound, stable. What do I want to say? Savvy. Here at EWTN. So you can text your question to us by texting the letters EWTN to 58177. So you just text the letters EWTN to 58177 and we'll get it. So, you know, one of the real joys that I have is the opportunity to get out to those locations where our affiliates are putting up these wonderful stations that bring the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ to so many in their area. And just this past few days, it wasn't a weekend. I feel like I've been on one long weekend since the beginning of September. That's how it feels to me. But not because it's been quiet, but because it's been busy. I have very busy weekends. All of that being said, there we were. We were there. We flew out Monday. We were there Tuesday evening. We had this wonderful opportunity to meet so many of our listeners there in Sioux City and surrounding areas that receive this program and so many others, all of EWTN Radio, via Siouxland Catholic Radio. And they also have a station, an affiliate there in Storm Lake. So they're growing and taking the message out. And we're glad because we need this message today. We absolutely need this message today. And I had the good pleasure of doing the program this Tuesday from their stations there in Sioux City. It's St. Boniface Church. And I just have to tell you, just absolutely lovely studios, wonderful studios. I like them because I don't know if this was intentional or happenstance, but the colors of that station are in the colors of Our Lady's Tilma, right? The Tilma that is imprinted, on the apron of St. Juan Diego. And, you know, so it was very comforting and warm for over me. I just felt like I was entering into the heart of Our Blessed Lady as I walked into that studio and sat behind. They put me behind the controls. Now, only Rich Jesse can understand that because, you know, I see him behind controls. And the controls frightened me. And they said, all you have to do is push this button. And I must have asked, maybe just this button, you know, just this button, you know. But fortunately, through the grace of God, I think that Jack kind of like made some little face that said, oh, she's not very good at that stuff. Anyway, Tony there pushed those buttons for me, so I didn't have to do them. But it was a very comfortable seat. I was quite happy to be there. I was also, you know, kind of flattered that they thought that I would know anything about that board, which I know nothing about. And I said to them, put me behind a mic. I can talk. Put me in front of controls. Oh, dear heavens. This could be a big mess. Anyway, all of that being said, it was wonderful. And I just want to share with you a little bit. You know, Jack and I gave a joint presentation, and we like to do that. We really enjoy doing that together. It's fun. People, enjoy it, it seems. But at any rate, we had such a lovely, attentive crowd that gathered there. Wonderful salt of the earth, you know, Heartland people that shared their heart with us through the course of our time together. And I just wanted to let you know that I'm having an opportunity to be at some other affiliates coming up in the very near future. And I want to be able to share with you a little bit about that because I want you to come out. You know, it's a great joy. I don't know how all of the other hosts feel, but I can almost be certain that they feel like I do. And that is that when we get out among the people that are hearing and receiving the message that we're putting out there, it's very edifying for us. But I'll tell you, it solidifies the warmth in the heart that you have for all who are listening. And so many people say, well, you know, I watch you, I listen to you, you know, and they know who I am. And I don't know their faces, right? Because I've not seen them in most cases. But there is an instant communication of that. And there is something that happens by way of these airwaves that, you know, though you don't necessarily see the faces of those who are listening, there's a communication of spirit. I just know that to be true. It has to be the Holy Spirit and Our Blessed Lady who, in a certain sense, is birthing, an intimacy of knowledge, right? So I oftentimes, when I'm speaking with you on the air here, you know, I have a real sense of you. When you call in, I have a real sense of you. I think that it's what God does when He puts you in a position, right? When He puts you into a certain category of vocation, He's called you into a certain area. He gives you a sensitivity for that area. I mean, if He didn't, then how could we be His presence in that area? It wouldn't be possible. So He does give you that. It's a participation in what we know as the mystical body of Christ. I mean, that's not just a nice phrase. That expresses a deep reality. It's Christ living in us. You know, I've been telling you, I've been reading a biography on Carol Hauslander. I'm a big Carol Hauslander fan, and I hope you will be too, if you're not already. But Carol, you know, one of the great privileges, really mystical gifts that God gave her was the capacity to actually see Jesus in the other person. This happened, it was intimations early on, but then it became solidified through this one experience. And then thereafter, for days, everywhere she looked, she saw Jesus in her fellow man. And this persisted in her heart. I mean, it's really kind of a recurring theme within the works that she's written. But I understand that. I understand that on some level. Anyway, all of that being said, we had a delightful time. Give us a call here, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. It's the way that you can join us. And I hope that you do. If you were there, give us a call. Tell everybody about the wonders that come by way of Catholic Radio. Looking forward to being with you on the other side of the break. Stay tuned. It is Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Stay with us.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. How good it is to be with you today. I'm so enjoying it. We love being with you Monday through Friday at the same time as we talk about issues important to your life and your faith. I'm inviting you to give us a call here. We've got some calls coming in. Thank you, Dennis. In New York is there, and I need to answer him right away. So I have some announcements about where we're going to be, in the upcoming future with regard to affiliates and other places. But I'm going to hold on that because it says answered right now. So I'm going to answer right. I'm going to be very obedient. We're going to go to Dennis in New York, listening to us via Sirius XM Station 130. Good morning to you, Dennis. How are you?
Jeanette, thank you. And I want you to know a few months ago I called in and asked you to keep in your prayers a personal petition of mine. And I want you to know it's working, your prayers.
What? Tell me about it. Praise be to God for that.
It's a young couple close to me going through a little marital issues. And they have three beautiful children. The oldest is 10. And two twins, 6 years old. But your prayers, we're getting them back into the church, and things are working out because of your prayers and your prayer warriors.
Well, you know, Dennis, I always say that our listeners are very strong intercessors. There's no question about that. I can't tell you how many times we've seen prayers answered as a response to their prayers. I'm happy to be part of that group. But it's not a singular effort here. It's this corporate effort, which you rightly recognized. And I thank you for that. And this is wonderful. And, you know, people say, well, you know, like, what's the effect of prayers? Well, one family is the effect of prayers. And if there's one family, you know there's more families, and you know that there's more families. And so we continue to do what it is that we can for the sake of the body of Christ, the mystical body of Christ, as we were talking about earlier. Thank you for your good work, for your patience, for your good counsel to this couple, for your leadership in this capacity, for your witness, Dennis. You know, that you are the immediate cause. We might be the proximate cause, but you are the immediate cause for what's happening in that family.
Jeanette, I have to say, I listen to you every day. You know, you got great people working for you, Matt, the call screen, everybody. But you lift up so many people. And what I'm trying to do with this husband is get him into the Knights of Columbus. Mm-hmm. It's a family organization, a part of the Catholic Church. You can join for free at kfc.org/join for free. And let me tell you, we need more men, and to get them out of this Freemasonry.
Yes, for sure.
And the Vatican just made a big announcement about it.
Well, I'm going to have to get out and read that, Dennis. I didn't see that, but I've been on the road a bunch this month, so I'm going to have to get out there and take a look. What did the church say? What did the Vatican say?
Well, there was a lot of confusion in 1983. Mm-hmm. It was removed from an excommunicable offense to a mortal sin. But they clarified it now, and it's back to excommunication. If you're a Catholic man in that organization, you'll be excommunicated. So we have to get that word out, Jeanette. Join
yes.
the Knights of Columbus for free and get out of the Freemasonry.
Yeah, you know, I want to comment on that. You know, I cannot remember when the Code of Canon Law had been promulgated prior to its revision in 1983. So I'm pretty certain we've had one for a long time. But I think that what had been in force had been one that had been promulgated like 1917 comes into my mind. I could be wrong on that. But all of that being said, it was very clear. The 1917 canon, or whatever year that was, very clearly stated that Catholics could not be Freemasons and named that organization, right? What they did in 1983, they didn't really reverse it. What they did is they broadened it out. They said any secret society. But, you know, when you're looking for a loophole, or you're just ignorant of what the church has said before, and you're not putting things into a broader context, then you could have missed it. Or you could have misinterpreted it and thought that, well, now Freemasonry is okay because they're not naming it. No, they actually broadened it. So it was any secret society, like Rosicrucianism would be another one, right? So any of these where there's these oaths that are exchanged and things of that nature, the church has outlawed because they are archenemies of the church. And Freemasonry has always been an archenemy of the church. It does have a beautiful exterior doctrine, what we would call that. The face that of Freemasonry is this beautiful philanthropic fellowship of men who do good in the world, the quintessential expression of that through the Shriners, which is the highest level of Freemasonry. It is the highest category of Freemasonry. You have to be a 32nd, I think, or a 32nd or a 33 degree Mason to attain that. Well, by the time you attain that, you have actually committed heinous actions against the church. When I say heinous, I'm not talking about going out there and murdering people necessarily, although in other countries, that is the case with Freemasonry. But in this country, you know, it takes the form of these various oaths that they all swear everywhere. But it's the ritual that's involved with those oaths. You're stamping on the Azuqueta of the Holy Father. There's a black mass that's celebrated. You cannot become that level of Mason and not know. But all of the underlying levels are really what the foundational pieces to that. So the outer doctrine is this philanthropic organization, but the inner doctrine is something that is very sinister and dark, and something that is really directly pitted against the Catholic Church. This is why Holy Mother Church takes that stand. Now, people don't want to hear this, you know, but the fact of the matter is, this is the truth. So people that are just like a third degree Mason or something, oh, no, it's not like that. You know, it's like, you know, we get together. It's a networking organization. You know, we help each other in our businesses. It's a fellowship of men, blah, blah. But even then, you've taken blood oaths. So you can't look at it quite that way as being a benevolent society, you know, and people get very upset, you know, because there's much out there on the Shriners. You know, you see the ads on television all of the time, and it's not to say that work isn't good work, but that work is coming out of a faulty organization. So even that in some way is slightly tainted. I don't know how God weeds all that out. That's not my job. My job is your job, Dennis, just to make people aware of the realities. And, you know, interestingly enough, you know, Jack and I over the course of the last week have been in two different cities, and in each city we're driving past the Scottish Rite Temple, or driving by the Masonic Temple, you know, and I always pray a St. Michael the Archangel prayer. Anytime I see these, I try to avoid going past them. I don't even want to look at them. But the fact of the matter is, it's not always avoidable. So what is the next best thing? Well, you pray. And what prayer do you pray? You pray the St. Michael prayer, because we're up against powers and principalities, the rulers of this present darkness. So we ought not to, we ought not to displace the reality from, you know, our practical application in our lives. So thank you, Dennis, for what you're doing. And yes, the KFC is not anything like Freemasonry. It isn't. It's a beautiful, beautiful collection of men who do good work, who are rooted in the teachings of the church, who try to proclaim those teachings, who stand for life in our culture, in a culture of death, stand for life at great expense. In addition to that, you know, these men are trying to forward the faith in the hearts and the minds of these gentlemen. And anytime the dad or the man of the house, you know, is fully in gear with the church, you can rest assured that there is fruit being produced in that family, even if it's not evident at a certain point in time, because he is the spiritual leader. And he is the generator of life in his family, right? You know what I mean by that? God the Father generates life, right? The male gender generates life, right? The seed is implanted in the woman. She bears the fruit. But what does he do? He generates the life. And that's true of spiritual life. That's why our priests can only be men. They're generating life, right? They're in persona Christi before the bride of Christ, their bride, and through the sacramental structure, you're generating life, spiritual life in the church. That's why women can't be priests. It's a ridiculous notion. It would be a lesbian relationship. Anyway, I've gone on quite a bit here. So I'm sorry, Dennis.
Thank you, Jeanette. And please keep my couple in your prayers.
We will for sure. And I'm going to keep you in my prayers because, you know, you're a fisherman at heart here. You are out there catching these souls for our Lord Jesus Christ. Right. And that's an important job and an important task. And you're doing it, you know, you're doing it in the trenches. And if I recollect correctly, I could be wrong, but you tell me, were you not a police officer at one point in time?
What a memory. Yes, I was.
And your son's the firefighter.
Right? Oh, my Lord. Yes. And my other son is a detective.
Well, there you have it. So I want to thank you for your service. And I want to thank your sons, your boys, for their service. They are men after their own dad's heart. And you have the heart of our Lord working in you. You're a good man, Dennis. Thank you.
God bless you. And thank you. And like I say, I listen to you every day, Jeanette. You are so uplifting in your history and everything you say. Thank you. Thank you for all you do.
Well, hey, listen, we're all in this thing together, Dennis. Not one of us is going to do it alone, but corporately we'll accomplish the task. God bless you. So we do want to just share with you, you know, where I'm going to be next in terms of Catholic radio efforts, right? I am going to be in Trenton, New Jersey at Domestic Church Media on October 27th. That is a Sunday evening. I am so looking forward to being with all of the good people there listening to us via Domestic Church Media. I want you to sign up and join us, right? We want to support our affiliates, and these events are one way in which we can do that. It's very, very important for us to keep Catholic radio on the air. I mean, when you talk about the voice of truth, where do you hear the voice of truth today? You hear it on Catholic radio. You hear it on Catholic radio. You know, it's a clarion call. You know, sometimes I think we're, you know, all of us involved in Catholic radio, and that includes you as a listener and as a supporter of your affiliate. All of us are engaged in a John the Baptist kind of role. Don't you see that? A John the Baptist kind of role, right? We are proclaiming the good news. We're out there in the wilderness. We're out in the hinterlands of this culture, proclaiming truth, making way for our Lord, right? Calling people to repentance, calling them to new life, calling them to resurrection in Christ Jesus, calling them forth. That is the charism of a John the Baptist. So you, me, all of us together, we are John the Baptist, and it's so exciting. I mean, fortunately, we don't have to wear, you know, camel hair and eat locusts. That would be really hard, I'm thinking. Yeah, I'm grateful that I don't have to do that, but I am absolutely, absolutely forever grateful to our Lord for this opportunity for Catholic radio. So please come to this event being put on in Trenton, New Jersey via Domestic Church Media, Sunday, October 27th. Get out to their website, sign up, join us there. Then the following weekend, I am going to be all the way on the other side, or a pretty good distance on the other side of the country. I am going to be in Amarillo, Texas. Yes, I am. Saturday, November 2nd, for the Guadalupe Radio Network Fishers of Men Dinner. So I'm hoping you'll turn out in Amarillo, Texas, Saturday, November 2nd, for Guadalupe Radio Network's Fishers of Men Dinner. And I do want to tell you, I just have to tell you this, I really do. I have to tell you that I was in Amarillo, Texas, several years ago. I can't remember how many. It was for a women's event. I remember it very, very clearly, though I cannot tell you the year, but I do remember the event very, very clearly. It was lovely to be with all of these good women there. We had such a fantastic turnout. And I'm hoping that you will turn out for Guadalupe Radio Network's Fishers of Men event. It's a dinner taking place Saturday, November the 2nd. All of the information for both of these opportunities for you, whether you're in the Trenton area, New Jersey, or, you know, you can draw. That's a tri-state area. You get Domestic Church Media in three states, right? So I'm hoping you'll just get into the car and get your way over there. And no matter where it is that you live, I hope that you show up. Same in Amarillo, Texas, up there in the panhandle of Texas. We want for you to come. If you're on a border state and you can get there, come. We want for you to be there. Take a little drive up, a little drive up for a lot of you. But all of that being said, do join us for these lovely events. That's Amarillo, Saturday, November the 2nd, and Domestic Church Media Sunday, October 27th. 833-288-EWTN is the way that you can join us today. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can contact us. Also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, encouraging you to use the chat feature there. Do want to tell you about one of the highlights on this recent trip. We had the opportunity to make our way to Trinity Heights, and the Trinity Heights was the site of a boys' school, later became a seminary and a college, but now it is the site of Our Lady of Grace Shrine. You know, if you are in Iowa and you've not been to Our Lady of Grace Shrine, you have got to get there. If you're not in Iowa, plan a trip and go to Our Lady of Grace Shrine there in Sioux City, Iowa. It is absolutely astonishing. I'm going to have some pictures up maybe later today, on my social media sites. We've got a bunch of them. We've got Facebook and Pinterest and Instagram, and I don't know where else. But anyway, we're going to have them up there. You can go out. I should definitely have them up there by this weekend. But all that being said, you can see what I'm talking about. They've got these statues, they're stainless steel statue of Our Blessed Mother, 30 stories high, and the same for the Sacred Heart of Our Lord Jesus Christ. And then dotted all over the property are these individual shrines to Our Blessed Mother and significant moments in sacred scripture as well that are depicted there. So we've got Our Lady of Fatima, Our Lady of Lourdes, beautiful, beautiful, replica of the grotto there. Absolutely amazing. We have, speaking of John the Baptist, we have Jesus Baptism by John the Baptist. Oh my gosh, it is so beautiful. It is amazing. Now, we've got some of these statues are bronze. That one in particular is a bronze statue. Something else absolutely incredible. One of four life-size depictions, replicas of the Last Supper with all of the apostles and our Lord there on the grounds. The story behind that, as amazing as is the actual carving, wood carving of this, that took a gentleman over 7 years, I believe we were told, to bring this to completion. It is a treasure, a hidden treasure. So I want to encourage you to get out to Our Lady of Grace Shrine there in Sioux City, Iowa. I would love to take Women of Grace there. Anyway, all of that being said, we're going to a break, going to come back. Today's the feast day of Our Lady of La Salette. We're going to be talking about her. I want to hear from you, 833-288-EWTN.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We're so happy that you are with us today. Eager to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN is the way you can call us. It's toll-free for you right here in North America. That's 833-288-3986. You're very quiet out there in social media land. So if you are out watching us on YouTube, well, just send us a little comment or a question. I would love to receive it. You can do that by using the chat feature at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. I have a correction to make. I kept saying Our Lady of Grace, right? I kept saying that. It's not Our Lady of Grace Shrine. It's Our Lady of Peace Shrine. So, you know, it's the same woman, just a different title, right? So, but all of that being said, it's Queen of Peace Shrine. And it is important to note that it is Queen of Peace Shrine, especially if you're going to be looking it up. And you're going to want to look it up. I can assure you, you're going to want to look it up online there and then make your way there to Queen of Peace Shrine in Sioux City, Iowa. It was a wonderful day. Oh my gosh, we had a beautiful tour. Terry and Tim took us around, and oh, they were very knowledgeable gentlemen. Gave us the whole history, and we just enjoyed it. Can't speak about it highly enough. Listen, I do want to let you know something else too. We've got a bunch of you that are listening to us in Nebraska and Central Wisconsin, and I want you to know that your affiliates need to hear from you next week. Spirit Catholic Radio is going to be airing their fall pledge drive starting Monday. today on their 19 stations throughout Nebraska and central Wisconsin. So no matter where you're listening, remember to support your EWTN Catholic radio station. But Spirit Catholic Radio's pledge drive is beginning on Monday, and it's going to be happening through all of their 19 stations. As I was sharing with you earlier, these pledge drives are absolutely essential for these stations to stay on the air. We have a tendency to take things for granted, and we cannot, and we're all called into action to support those good things that are happening. We want to support truth in our culture. You know, we've got to support it every way we can. We got to speak the truth without equivocation. We have to represent the truth in our own personal witness and our habits. But we've also got to support the efforts that are out there trying to proclaim the truth through all of these beautiful apostolic adventures, chief among them, Catholic Radio. So encouraging you to take advantage of that beautiful opportunity. I want to get to Marie. Marie is in Connecticut and listening to us via Station of the Cross. There you have another fantastic affiliate. Needs your support. They all do. So, Marie, how are you this morning?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Good, good, good. So you've got a trial going on in your family right now, huh?
Indeed. We have 7 grandchildren, and one of them is 18 years old, and a couple of years ago, she decided to transgender. We didn't know a single thing about it, so we became very knowledgeable, all the research, the medical, the scientific, and the Catholic. And we're Catholic. She's Catholic. She went to Catholic K through 8. A side note, that school was struggling. They took federal funds, and with the federal funds, they also accepted the curricula that pushes this kind of thing on kids. And so now we have this. And so this grandchild has been a recipient of all of the same kinds of presents that we as grandmothers and grandfathers give to our children for holidays, their birthdays, you know. And I gave the Catholic things. I was very careful and didn't preach too much. And we have to do everything by mail and by email because they live across the country. Mm-hmm. So she has just recently, now that she's turned 18 and, you know, 3 months after I gave her her usual money, not a lot, but money and gifts and everything for her birthday, sent us an email saying she doesn't want any more of our gifts or anything, any communications at all, if we don't affirm her by calling her her chosen transgender opposite sex name, which is also happens to be, and she says, it's a Druidic name. So I looked up that name, and it is a Druidic name of people who worship pagans. And this is a goddess name, a god name, not a goddess. So I don't want to affirm her because the research is telling us that when you do that, the chances, you accelerate their chances of progressing toward the sex hormones and the surgeries, which she hasn't had yet, but I think she's accelerating that herself in a certain way. And we don't really want to affirm that. We know what the risks are with all the treatments, and we don't want to affirm her. But my question is, what can I say? And it's wonderful that you're a grandmother. What can I say to this child? It might be the one and only time I get to communicate with her about this. And she's told us to also not send any gifts or contacts to her parents at all either if we're not going to affirm her. We've been affirming her as a person, mm-hmm. as a Catholic, as a woman, over and over, and saying all the wonderful things that we heard you say to young women on your show.
Yeah.
So I wonder, what would you say? I'm going to be responding, but I don't want to make any big mistakes here.
Well, you know, at this point in time, Marie, you know, I think that it's important to maintain the stance that you've maintained because you are trying to help this young woman to make a decision that is absolutely in concert with who God created her to be. And this false notion that we have, this ideology that we have in our culture today that, you know, gender doesn't matter, that it's immutable, that it is not immutable, is completely false. She is never going to be a man, and you know that. I mean, it's just an impossibility. She can mutilate her body and imitate a man and try to act like a man. She's never going to think like a man. That's never going to happen. Her brain is wired to be a woman. Now, I don't know what the influx of hormones do to the brain. I there is a plasticity to the brain. I don't know that it's going to completely rewire it. What I do think is going to happen in time is she's going to deeply regret this, or she'll become completely entrenched in it, in a hardened and bitter stance, to try to in some way justify the position. We see this in numbers of different kinds of situations where people have chosen against something. They don't want to hear the truth because then that means they have to admit that they made a mistake. And if they admit that they make a mistake, then they've got to do something about the mistake. And sometimes mistakes can't be corrected, for example, in the case of an abortion. So sometimes you'll see women take a very hard stance on the pro-abortion side of the equation because they're trying to continue to justify to themselves that what they did was fine. But underneath it, they know it's not fine. Otherwise, their stance would not be filled with bitterness and rage. And that is what can happen to her. In this case, you have spoken the truth to her. You've offered her a counsel and advice. You've given her good information, solid information, and yet she's moving in this way. So, there is such a thing as true gender dysphoria. The actual percentage of authentic cases of that is very slim. Very slim. What we have today is a cultural gender. You know, we have a cultural gender dysphoria disorder. It's been engendered by the culture, and that's most likely what has happened to her. Especially if you didn't see any signs early on that she was struggling with her identity, and this is something that's morphed in her young adult years. What can you do at this point? Well, it may be that your communication with her, this next communication, will be the last communication. And I think that you're right in your stand not to call her by the name, certainly the Druidic name, under any circumstances, even if it was a goddess name. You're certainly right not to call her by that name, and especially if that name is the name of a god, that indicates that there's more that's going on there than just this issue with her gender. It indicates that her faith life is in the tank. Because, if you're going to take the name of a pagan god, it means that you are now identifying with what that god represents. I don't know if you looked up what that god represents or not, but decision is calculated on her part.
She did say resurrection, death and resurrection.
Okay. Well, that would make sense. It's a death to her feminine identity and a resurrection and a new identity, which is not possible. So, I think probably if it were me, what I would do, and I'm thinking of my two eldest granddaughters, 119, 118, I'm thinking of them. What if they came to me with this? What would I do? I think that I would affirm them in my love for them. I love you. I've loved you from the moment I knew you had been conceived in the womb of your mom. I love you with all of my heart. I desire only best things for you. I desire the richest of heaven's blessings to be upon you. I cannot support you in this decision. You will always be my beautiful granddaughter. You will never be anyone other than my beautiful granddaughter. And I can only hope and pray that at some point in time, you will discover just how beautiful you are as the daughter of God that He's created you to be. If you want to have further communication, I am open to that. I will never close the door on you. But if you close the door on me, I will respect your decision.
It's all about the name, because your message is, because I've been listening to you, you speak this way to women, and I have spoken in writing to her that way, so that she has come to the point where she says, I know I was born a girl. I know that I can't change that, but I want this name, and I want to always, I want to think that I'm, you know, not a girl.
And so, I mean, have you answered the big question? Why?
The big thing is the name.
Well, that doesn't even make sense to me. It doesn't make sense that you would pick a name. I really like the name Joshua, so therefore I have to become a man. Well, not necessarily. I mean, it would be better if you were, I guess, but not necessarily. I mean, you know, my name is Johnette. You know, the root is John.
Yeah. Actually, she has
and
a name.
And a pretty girly girl, I'm just saying, you know.
Yes, absolutely. But she has a name that is could be a boy or a girl. I, you know, people sometimes, her
what
parents
is her name?
A name that
what
could
is,
be
what is her baptismal name?
Yeah.
Her baptismal name is a non-gender name?
Yeah, it's one that a boy can have or a girl can have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I actually said this when they chose that name 18 years ago, that, well, you know that's a name that boys and girls have, but they liked it, and they raised her in a normal girly way, but when she decided to do all this, they began to slowly accept everything.
The parents haven't.
I have accepted herself as herself, but not the name. I've been calling her baptismal name.
Yeah. Well, here's what, you know, this is, boy, oh boy. And, you know, I've never been very fond of, you know, neutral gender names, to tell you the truth. You know, I'm just putting that out there to all of you. I've just never really been fond of it. I am much fonder of names that identify, you know, the reality of the person that is assuming that name. But the reality of the person supersedes the name. So even though, you know, that name is an identifier, you know, the fact of the matter is it doesn't truly identify the person. It's an identifier, you know, it doesn't identify the person. So, you know, there's that. But in our culture today, you know, and I would just put this out to any of you that are listening that whose children are pregnant, or if you yourself are pregnant, you know, when you're selecting your name, the name of the child is very, very important. There is a certain identity that comes by way of that in terms of the way in which they view themselves. And what do I mean by that? Well, you know, in our Christian worldview, why is it that Catholics, you know, have always been encouraged to name their children after saints or after Our Blessed Lady? Why? Because we're trying to name them to characterize them in some way. You know, we're trying for them to achieve perhaps, you know, something of the nature of that saint in terms of virtue, in terms of holiness of life, in terms of that saint being, if you will, you know, an exemplar for our child. So when we name them after things of the earth, you know, we name them, you know, after names of rivers or, you know, things of that nature, or, you know, we name them a name that they can go either way. In some way, is it possible that we're nullifying the reality of the person? I'm just putting it out there. And today, especially when we are facing this demonic spirit that goes by the name transgenderism, this demonic spirit that goes by that name, in our day and time, when we are embracing that demonic spirit that goes by the name of transgenderism, we don't need to add to that. We don't need to, in some way, you know, supplement, you know, its powers by giving any kind of indication that that spirit is welcome to discombobulate our children's minds. So, you know, I just want to, you know, put that out there. You know, for people that are listening, this is my opinion. But that being said, you know, I think that there is good rationale behind it. But you know, so children are named, and their name is their name, and it's on their birth certificate, and it is on their baptismal certificate. I'm hoping that she had a Christian middle name, at least. I'm hoping. Most of the times, used to be in the church, if you didn't have one, they'd just assign one, and it would turn up on the baptismal certificate. I don't know if they do that anymore. But you know, Marie, you know, the parents have embraced this to some extent. The child is moving in this direction. You may be the only pillar of truth in this situation. And as gently, as lovingly as you can, I tried to phrase, you know, a potential way of approaching this, on the air here, you know, so it was really just off the cuff. But I think that you have to approach it, and I think that you have to remain firm. If you capitulate, you capitulate. And then in a sense, you're part of the problem, not part of the solution. Now, on the heels of that, and even now, something that you have been doing, I'm quite confident, you have been praying for this girl and continue to pray. And I always recommend this. I always recommend the beautiful novena to Our Lady, Undoer of Knots. You know, you might make that a perpetual novena for her. In other words, when you pray your daily rosary, that you pray Our Lady, Undoer of Knots rosary novena for this girl, that become the way that you pray the rosary, at least if you pray multiple rosaries, certainly one of them. Additional to that, I would really encourage you to have masses celebrated for her. You can go to our website. We can do a novena of masses, 9 masses in a row for her. I would do that. I would certainly have a mass prayed for her on her birthdays, on significant dates, her baptismal date. I would do that. We have no stronger prayer than the holy sacrifice of the mass. And lastly, don't give up hope. Don't give up hope. I remember last year I was in Des Moines, Iowa, and a woman presented herself to me. And frankly, when she spoke without me looking up, I thought I was talking to a man. I looked up and I saw this woman standing before me. And she went on to tell me that she had been transitioning to the opposite sex to become a man. She had been transitioning, and she had done hormone therapy, and she was just inches away from having surgery to mutilate her body, to make it look more like a man's body. And she said, but she was listening to this show, to Women of Grace, and we were talking about this issue, and she heard it often enough that she made a change in her life. And she determined she was not going to do this. She was a married woman. She had married a homosexual man. She stopped therapy. He came out of that lifestyle, came into the church, and she is back in the faith. So never, ever underestimate the power of your prayer as a grandmother. Never underestimate it, Marie. We don't know how God takes this prayer and applies it. We don't know if he plucks them out by the tip of the ear from the fire before they throw themselves into the pit. We don't know. But what we do know is that our God is a saving God. And our God has a plan for this girl. And whether she does this or doesn't do this, whether she goes the full distance or doesn't go the full distance, he loves her and he is crazy in love with her. And he is pulling out every stop in the heavens to help her to find equilibrium in her life and to open her heart to him. And don't underestimate it, because even if it's when her soul is leaving her body, when she's taking her final breath, the fact of the matter is, it is not too late for her. You keep praying, Marie. You keep praying, but you have to stand firm. Let her know that the line of communication is open on your side always. You will never close it. What she determines to do with that is out of your control. You're not severing that tie. She's giving you an ultimatum that you cannot live with. So I think that that's really all I can say to you, sweetheart, except to tell you that I am tucking you and I'm tucking her into my rosary. And, I will take you into my Eucharistic celebration. I do pray for all of you. I do. So I'll be supporting you in prayer. You have to support her in prayer. Okay?
Okay. Thank you, Jeanette.
You're welcome, honey. Bye-bye now. These are very, very hard issues, and so many families being facing these issues, being really victims of the society of our day and time, the culture these ideologies enter into the minds and the hearts of our children by way of educational systems. I mean, you know, it's very hard. We put them into the soup of the culture. It's not our fault. It's what's around them. You know, it's like a, you know, think about it this way. You know, Jack said something to me the other night. I don't know if he likes me talking about him on the air, but I'm going to. Anyway, he was telling me about when he was working in a particular job, and he was working out there in the fields or something. And powdery grain would get into his hair, you know, and he says, and the thing of it was so hard to get out, but the smell of it stayed with you. You know, the smell of it stayed with you. And I think that it's a really good analogy. You know, we pick up the stench of the culture just by walking through it. This is why we have got to be vigilant. It's why we've got to make sure we take a Holy Spirit shower every single day. It's why we've got to take ourselves to the great bath, which is the sacrament of reconciliation, even if we're not ascribing to these things, and just so that we become strengthened by way of the grace of the sacrament to remain strong in the midst of the travail of our time. And it can be done. Good book for you all. I'm going to be interviewing Monica later today. In the Beginning by Dr. Monica Miller. It's available for you right now at EWTN's Religious Catalog. All of this resolved by understanding, reading, and applying the first three chapters of Genesis. We've got a rush, Nancy. You can call me tomorrow, honey. I'll be here. I'll look forward to it. Until we're together again, everybody, God bless you now. Bye-bye.